This is Doug Miller. The God of glory, the God of glory, the God of glory. What does that say to you? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. And we are back again with the Word of God in hand. We will actually, I wanted to begin at Acts 8, verse 1. But we will need to look a little bit at the very end of chapter 7. At any rate, bring your Bibles, come along. Open up to Acts 8, 1. And then when you get it, just look back at the about Acts 7:58, rather, and we'll take it up from there and go forward. I think you will be mightily blessed by the Word of God. In fact, I know that you will be, because there is always a great blessing in hearing the Word of God. It will never return to God void. It will accomplish that which He pleases, and there is no doubt about it. It will do it. And for me, the wonderful truth about that is that I don't have to worry about it a good deal. It's not some weight on me. I don't have to make it accomplish that which the Lord pleases. He said it would. I don't have to go out here and shuffle around and beat the bushes and hustle around and see to it that people get saved. That's God's business. That's the Holy Spirit's business. My business is to give this word out clearly. Okay. Call a friend right now. Tell them to listen. I think they'll be blessed too. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out. And to that end, we are, as I tell you many times, utterly and absolutely dependent on you, our listeners. This is a faith ministry. It cannot function without you. So you say, well, who drafted me into it? The Lord did. You know, you think about it, I'm the guy on here on this mic talking into the mic and sending the word out there, but I couldn't do it without the listeners and without the Lord's people who support this ministry. And someday we'll all get home in heaven, and you'll have as much of a reward in this because of your prayers and support as anything I'll have. The guy who does the talking is not necessarily the most important one at all. Okay? Now, we'd love to hear from you. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. And if you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you would like to pull up our webpage and listen to any of our broadcasts which are on there, and you can just pull them down and listen to your heart's content, absolutely free to get to them, put in Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, dialogueministries.org. And hit a return, and up the page will come, and you can listen. Also, if you want to email us, that's good. Delighted to hear from you. DialogueMinistries@sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Okay, let's see. If anything else I need to tell you, I believe that will just about do it. And I guess if you want to call us, our telephone number's on the webpage, and you will return your call. Be happy to. Although you won't get a live human being there. You'll get a recording of me, and you can leave a message. Okay. I know a lot of people listen out there that we never hear from. Occasionally, I will hear someone out there. I'll be talking to someone that I've never met before, and they will say, "You know, I know your voice." And I'll say, "Oh, you do? Yeah. Are you Doug Miller?" "Well, yes, I am." "Well, I just knew I knew your voice. I listen to you all the time." "Well, okay, good." Always delighted to hear from that, too. Always an encouragement, you know. You don't know exactly what you're doing over the radio, and it's a good thing to get an idea now and then. All right, enough of that. Back to the book of Acts and to the stoning of Stephen. We have an interesting thing here. Death by stoning. That's how the Jews did it. One of the things that would get you stoned was blasphemy. And that's exactly what we have here. As far as these fleshly, religious, moral pillars of the community as far as they were concerned, Stephen had committed blasphemy. Well, but we know what's really going on, don't we? The flesh and the spirit are always at enmity with one another. And I ended the broadcast last time by telling you, if you are being drawn to the man in glory, and all Christians, that's where they should be. And if you are not, it's because you're getting some bad teaching out there. And wherever you're being taught, this is not being emphasized. And it ought to be. What the Lord is doing in this world today is drawing people to Him where He is in glory at God's right hand. And it is a matter of faith. You're not going to see Him physically. It is a matter of, by faith, seeing Him and being drawn to Him by the Holy Spirit. And if you are truly, if there is a work going on in you of this kind, get ready. The flesh will war against you, and the world will be against you, and you can rest assured that that old snake, the devil, will be against you. Well, he's finished anyway. And the world and the flesh, they're all finished. God is finished with them. He's not improving your flesh any. God, the flesh, is at enmity with God, and it is no better now than it ever was. The day you got saved, your flesh was ruined. And today, your flesh is still ruined. God's not trying to improve your flesh. He's finished with the flesh. And, you know, but God is doing a work, and that work that's being done is in your spirit. It is in your heart, in your mind. God is working on these things. And it's a wonderful thing to know that God's doing the work, and He is in the business of producing sons and daughters in the image of His blessed Son. Now, Stephen was stoned because that's the way the Jews did it. Very interesting, just a little sidelight here. Our Lord Jesus wasn't stoned, not because they didn't think that He was guilty of blasphemy. He was guilty of blasphemy, as far as they were concerned. That's what they thought. When the high priest rent His clothes, in contradiction, incidentally, to the clear writings of the law of Moses, but when He rent His clothes and said, "What do you think?" they said He's guilty of blasphemy, the blasphemy of making Himself equal with God. Yeah, blasphemy, what they were calling blasphemy, He was telling the truth. He was God's equal, the Son of God, but they didn't see it that way. Well, why didn't they stone Him? They didn't stone Him because, and I want you to get this, this is important, although it's not the sort of thing that normally people will spend a lot of time on when they're preaching out of the pulpit, but I want you to get this. They said to Pilate said, "Well, you take Him out and kill Him if that's what you want to do." They said, "You know it's not lawful for us to put a man to death." You'll hear people say, "Well, it wasn't lawful because the Roman authorities had taken over the government and only the Romans could execute people under the law." Well, if that was the truth, why did Paul tell them, "You take Him out and kill Him"? That's what you want to do. The Romans had not taken away the power of capital punishment. They hadn't done that. Notice, look at the 8th chapter of John. The 8th chapter of John, you get a bunch of Pharisees who drag in an adulteress in front of the Lord, and they're going to stone her. They certainly stoned Stephen at the end of the 7th chapter of Acts, didn't they? There was no problem with him, you know, executing people by stoning. When they said it is not lawful or legal for us to put a man to death, the reason they said that was because of the season in which they were. This was a high holy season. They were entering the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread and so on and so forth. And if they defiled themselves by executing someone, by stoning someone, then they were defiled and could not eat the Passover, could not enter into this high and holy season. The legal and the law they were talking about was not Roman law. It was their law that made it illegal at this time for them to do it. That is very important. Why is that important? Well, I'm going to just show you this. And this, once again, this little rabbit trail that we're on here, but it is a profitable one. It is important because the way in which the Lord Jesus was to die had already been laid down clearly in prophecy in Psalm 22, which begins with the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if you read that psalm, you will see the way in which he was to die. And it is a clear crucifixion. It is a crucifixion. He had to have his side pierced. His blood had to be shed on that cross because that's the way God was going to do it. The Lamb of God was going to be slain in that way, and this was not stoning. Isn't it wonderful how God makes his word work? Even these men, these evil and wicked Pharisees, because they couldn't stone him, had to hand him over to the Gentiles. And, of course, the Lord Jesus said that's what would happen. It had to happen that way, and he was crucified. But now Stephen is different, and they did stone Stephen, and he cried out, and notice, this is so powerful. As he died, he kneeled down, and he said, Lord, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he cried, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He cried that. And here we have Stephen saying much the same thing, except the Lord Jesus on the earth at that time cried out to his Father in heaven. But the sentiment here also, do not lay this sin to their charge. This is so like the Lord, isn't it? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do not lay this sin to their charge. Here was a man who had the courage, the grit, to stand before these men and tell them the truth, knowing probably what it was going to cost him. And yet, do we see vengeance in him? Do we see anger? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We see this attitude many times in believers. And friends, I don't know what lies in store for any of us. When I look at the world and the direction things are going today, I fear, as old Tom McCullough used to say, I fear that the saints may have to testify with their blood. I don't know what lies ahead for any of us. I know that those who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution because Paul wrote that to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:12. That's what the Word of God says. I don't know what lies ahead for any of us, but I know this. We are to be motivated by this in the same way Stephen was. We can't expect anything better out of the world. Now, notice this, too. At the end of this chapter, we are introduced to a man whose life is going to make things different for every one of us. His name is Saul of Tarsus. He was a young man at this time. And in fact, the word for a young man here is the word in Greek is the word for a youth. I don't know what a youth was, but I know it wasn't an old man. Here was a young man, and we notice as we get him again in chapter 8, verse 1, he was consenting unto his death. I can remember. And Paul talks about this incident later on. He talks about this incident. Did he stone Stephen? No. He held the coats of the men who did. He didn't defile himself with this death, but he was sure egging them on and urging them on. Paul, at this time, of course, we know him as Paul, don't we? But then his name was Saul. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He tells us this later on in his letter to the Philippians. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee, and he believed in the law of Moses, and he believed that what he was doing was the right thing, and he was an angry, murderous young man. A murderous man. A killer at heart. Isn't it amazing? That's what religion does to me. Look at the difference in him and Stephen. Stephen wasn't about to murder anyone. He wasn't about to kill anyone. Religion will kill you in a heartbeat. Religious people frighten me to death. Religious fanatics scare me to death. I'm telling you, because they will kill you. And if you don't believe it, you look out there and see what's going on right now. Throughout the history of Christendom, how many people have been murdered, killed in the name of Jesus Christ? Look at the Crusades. Look at the killings of the Albigensians and the other believers who did not go along with the Pope back in the early days there. Look at what happened to them. Look at the popes urging people to go out in the name of Christ and kill and maim and murder. And look at this and tell these men who they were urging in this direction that it's not going to matter. I mean, you're forgiven. You're going right straight to heaven. Why? You don't even have to have, we've given you an indulgence. Go on out, kill them. And these individuals, think of the Crusaders who cut a wide swath of death and destruction all the way, I mean, to Byzantium, all the way to Constantinople, where they killed other Christians in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, there's no point in your wasting my time. If you are out here and you are following the teachings of the Pope, there's no need in your wasting my time and yours by writing to me and getting in touch with me and thinking that you can justify this kind of thing. You cannot. What you're doing is trying to justify murder and killing in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. It will not work. For those of you, if you are Muslim and you are looking out today at these men who think that they are, and women and young people who are being sent out to blow people up in the name of their God, Allah, who is a false God, incidentally, and think that they are martyrs and they are going to heaven, and they're going to, have 73 virgins. I don't know what they believe out there, but I want to tell you something. This is not of God. This is right out of the pit, and it is wicked. And Paul, whose name at this point was Saul, and boy, we'll have a lot to say about him. Saul thought that he was doing the right thing, and later on he utterly and absolutely repudiates this. He says, I am not even fit to be called an apostle. I persecuted the church of God. Look at him. Let's read some of chapter 1 here as we get to the end of our broadcast. Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. There he was. There's this fine, upstanding, religious young man. Here he was, out of Tarsus, sent down to Jerusalem to study, to learn at the feet of Gamaliel, a man who later on said of himself, read it in the third chapter of Philippians if you wish, that he, as far as the law was concerned, was blameless. That's for all of you out there who think that you're keeping the Mosaic law and that somehow this will get you to heaven. Well, I just keep the Ten Commandments myself. Oh, rubbish. Even if you could keep the Ten Commandments, which you cannot, even if you could keep the Mosaic law, which you cannot, I've got a word for you from this very man, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome in the third chapter of Romans, knowing that a man is not justified by the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, he wrote, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Writing to the Galatians, back in chapter 2 of the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 21, we read this, and this is as clear as God can make it. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, here we have this nice legalistic young man, this good Jewish boy, killing and murdering and maiming. Maiming who? Well, in this case, other Jews. These are Jews he's turning on, not Gentiles. He wouldn't dirty his hands at this point with a Gentile, but he was sure killing other Jews because they believed in Jesus Christ. This, once again, is where religion will take you. Now, Paul's not going to stay here. He's not going to continue on as Saul of Tarsus, is he? He's going to have his life changed and turned around. And it's interesting the way the Holy Spirit, through the writings of Luke, introduces this young man here. And it's such an interesting way. They threw their garments down at the feet of a young man named Saul, who was consenting in the death of Stephen. Well, Saul's going to have his life changed. He's going to get jerked up short and have his, he's going to be blinded. And what God is going to do to this world through the Apostle Paul is just absolutely incredible. There is not a one of you listening to me right now who in some way or another have not been blessed by the ministry of this man. Well, that's all we'll have time for now. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.